Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
We're in our series called Stretch, and it's funny, I think everybody that's preached so far has said how that much they hate stretching, and I'm just going to follow in their footsteps because stretching is not my forte, it never has been. And stretching is uncomfortable by nature. The word stretch means to elongate without tearing or breaking. It's going to a point of uncomfortable. So for me, that's about right there. But right there starts to get uncomfortable. But I mean, I can touch the ground, but it's uncomfortable. Stretching is not fun. I've never seen anybody excited to go stretch. I played sports all my life. I stretched before every practice and every game of my life. Never have I went and said, man, I can't wait to go stretch. Never have I known anybody to say that. It's kind of like running. Have you ever seen anybody running on the street that looked happy? They're in agony, always. That's why I don't run. But it's always a part of the pregame, and no matter what sport you play, it's part of the game. In other words, if you want to play, you got to stretch. If you want to win, you got to stretch. If you want to put yourself in a position to win, you're not going to win them all. But if you want to put yourself in a position to win, you got to stretch. It's part of the game. Sometimes things are stretched so much that they don't break or tear, but it does leave a mark. Have you ever been to seen a bodybuilder? And been up close to a bodybuilder. Now, not so much nowadays, now that you guys are into CrossFit and Orange Theory and all that. But back in the day, yeah, I mean, people were yoked. There could have been some foreign substance involved in some of these people. But if you get up too close to a bodybuilder, oftentimes you'll see a mark. You'll see a mark because they've made so many gains so quickly. They've gotten so big. They've grown so exponentially, so fast, their skin couldn't handle it. So it didn't tear, it didn't break, but it stretched. And it left a mark. Other times if you're a mother, or you may know a mother, or you may have heard a mother talk about the fact that during the process of pregnancy, because their stomachs stretch so big, sometimes so fast, their skin can't quite handle it, and it leaves a mark because there's a 9-month intense process, and sometimes there's a mark. Sometimes it's evidenced by a streak or a stripe. The title of my message tonight is Stretch Marks. And some of you guys never thought you would want a stretch mark, but after tonight, you're going to go after some stretch marks. You're going to want a stretch mark in your life. Come on. Some of us don't want to stretch because it's uncomfortable. Some don't want to stretch because it hurts. Some don't want to stretch because they don't see that immediate result, that immediate new flexibility. Some don't want to stretch because it may get too intense that it could leave a mark. Some of us are willing to stretch a little, but we don't want to go to that next level because it might leave a mark, and we don't want to deal with that. It's hard. But unless you're willing to be stretched to the point of leaving a mark, you won't see the exponential growth that God has for you. You'll never experience. In other words, you'll never experience true victory in Christ unless you're willing to stretch. You may have to carry some weight. You may have to encounter some resistance. But that little mark on your body or that little mark in your soul is nothing compared to the gains that you're going to receive in this world. Stretching is worth it. Gains are worth it. It may not be immediate, though. It may take 9 months of intense labor before you can get that mark, before you can experience that new birth. And it may be unattractive to you. You may have not wanted to experience that. Maybe it wasn't your doing. Maybe you didn't choose to. But forever, you can point to that mark and you can say that it is evidence of a victory that you have won. It is a picture of perseverance. It's not a streak or a stripe, but it is a receipt of a brand new life in Christ. It is evidence of a victory, of an overcoming of a situation or a challenge in your world. And you can point to that mark for the rest of your life, even if you didn't choose it. Because the Bible says sometimes we just fall into trials. We don't choose them. They choose us. We live in a fallen world. Sometimes stuff just happens. And so you didn't choose to put yourself in this challenge, but now you're faced with a decision. Are you willing to stretch? Are you willing to stretch to a point where it might leave a mark on your life? You know the kind of people that I like that are willing to stretch, that are willing to believe God, that are willing to step out in faith? People that are obsessed. I like obsessed people, Mr. Higginbottom. We had a guy come to Pathfinders. He talked about obsession. Now, there's a bad obsession. There's an obsession where you don't attend to things that you need to attend to in order to go after something that's not healthy. But there's an unhealthy obsession. There's a healthy obsession. There's a way to live this life with a healthy obsession. And it's those people that are so focused, that are so dialed in on their God-given assignment, that they are obsessed, and they won't take no for an answer. They'll do whatever it takes to achieve what God has called them to achieve. It's a confident obsession in their assignment. People try to live so balanced in this life, and it doesn't work. Balanced people don't change the world. You have to have an unbalanced tilt in your world if you want to change the world, if you want to change your life. There has to be an obsession. There has to be an obsession. I wake up every morning now since that time, and whether I feel it or not, I say, I'm obsessed with God. I'm obsessed with my assignment. It helps me get out of bed. Because even if I'm not, I'm going to call those things that aren't as though they are. And so I'm going to say, I'm obsessed with God. I'm obsessed with seeing a demonstration of power. I'm obsessed with preaching the gospel. I'm obsessed with seeing people on an altar call. I'm obsessed with seeing God move in your life and in my life. I'm obsessed. And it's healthy. There's another word that can be misconstrued, but these kind of people are willing to stretch too, and these are desperate people. I felt this word this morning, so I kind of threw it in. Desperate can be seen as a bad thing, an unattractive thing, but then there's a desperate that is attractive. It's a desperate that attracts God. It's so attractive, it attracts the power of God. Desperation can be a good thing. Jeff mentioned the woman with the issue of blood. This woman was desperate. She had an issue of blood. The Bible just calls her the woman with an issue. She didn't even have a name. She was just a woman with an issue. And she was bleeding for 12 years. She had no identity. She was ostracized from society. She was called unclean. She couldn't even be near Jesus, but she was desperate. She spent all she had, but she got worse. And so she approached Jesus, but she sees people. She sees a crowd. She sees people all around him. The Bible says people are thronging him. They're all over him. But she was so desperate, she reached through the crowd and she grabbed the hem of his garment. She stretched. And when she grabbed the hem of his garment, power left Jesus and she was healed in a moment. She was desperate and it attracted heaven. It attracted the power of God. Desperation can be a good thing. Desperation could be a thing where you can cultivate because it'll cause you to stretch. It'll cause you to see God in a brand new place. Desperation can be a good thing. The Bible is filled with obsessed and desperate people willing to stretch to the point of marks. And let me just tell you, every divine vision will require a human stretch. There won't be anything from heaven that comes to you that won't require you to stretch beyond where you're comfortable. And the more you stretch into the uncomfortable, the more comfortable you get with the uncomfortable. A big step of faith is only a big step the first time you do it. Then God's going to take you to a different place, a higher step, a bigger stretch. Paul was one of these people in the Bible. I love Paul. He used to be Saul, and he was killing Christians, and then God changed his name to Paul, and now he's getting persecuted by Christians. People don't believe him. Are you really a Christian? Weren't you the one that was just persecuting us? Paul gets fed up in Galatians 6:17. I love it. He says, from now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. People were persecuting him. They didn't really believe. And he said, you know what? I got evidence that I'm a follower of Christ. I got marks on my body because I've been stretching. I've been stretching. I've been believing God. Some of the marks is found in 2 Corinthians 11, 23-25. It says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. Paul had marks in his life. People could look at his life and say, you are a follower of Christ. Are there marks on our lives showing evidence that we're Christians? Could you be convicted of being a Christian in the court of law? Does your life have marks that can convince a jury? Maybe it's not rods, maybe it's not stripes, but do you have a mark of righteousness on your life? Do you have a mark of joy on your life? Do you have a mark of peace on your life? Do you have a mark of prosperity on your life? The kind of prosperity that comes from heaven. The Bible says the blessing of the Lord makes one rich and adds no sorrow with it. There's a prosperity that you can get outside of God, but it may come with some sorrow. Prosperity in the house of God is evidence that you are a follower of Christ. Is it healing? Is it generosity? Do you have a mark of generosity on your life? One look at your checkbook should convict you of Christianity. One look, because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So where are you putting your finances? Is it in the house of God? Is your life marked by an obsession, by a faith in God, by a blessing? Can we be convicted of being a Christian? Somebody else that in the Bible that wasn't afraid to fight, wasn't afraid to stretch, and his name is Jacob, Abraham's grandson, found in Genesis 32. In Genesis 28, God came to Jacob and he said, I'm going to bless you, and all the nations of the world will be blessed because of you. Your descendants shall be the number of the sand of the seashore, just the same prophecy that he gave Abraham. Now he's given it to Jacob. But now it's Genesis 32. Esau, his brother's after him. He hadn't received the blessing yet. And so he goes into battle. He goes into fight. And here's what the Bible says. Then Jacob was left alone. And a man, capital M means God, and God wrestled with Jacob until the breaking of day. Now when God saw that God did not prevail against Jacob, what? He touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hips was out of joint as God wrestled with Jacob. And God said, let me go, for the day breaks. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. You promised you were going to bless me. I'm not letting you go until you do. So he said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, which means deceiver, but Israel, which means prince with God. For you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. Then Jacob asked, saying, tell me your name, I pray. And he said, why is it that you ask me my name? And God blessed Jacob right there. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Just as he crossed over Penuel, the sun rose on him, and he limped on his hip. This is an incredible story of a man who was desperate to see his blessing come to pass. He was willing to struggle with God. He was willing to go out on a limb, step out in faith, stretch a little bit, and wrestle with God. And he prevailed against him. I have 2 boys, and sometimes we wrestle. And sometimes I want to see how far or how strong they have become. And so I take them to a certain point. And if they can get to that certain point, I just kind of like let them win to show them. I think that's what God was doing here. I think God was seeing, how bad do you want it, Jacob? Are you willing to wrestle me? Are you willing to fight through a little hip socket dislocation? Are you willing to fight? And he let him win, and then he started to call him by his new name, by who he was going to be, Israel. He was no longer Jacob. He was Israel. Now he had a limp. That was a mark on his life. He was so committed to the promise that God has given him, he was willing to struggle with God all night. And he was not willing to let him go. So often we hear a word from God and we feel like we're blessed to be somewhere that we're not. But when we hit a struggle, we leave God. Don't let go of the one that can bless you. He wants to bless you. Don't let him go until your promise comes to pass. Don't let him go until he takes you to where you know you're supposed to be. Don't let him go. Don't let him go. How desperate are you? How obsessed with your future are you? How bad do you want to see where God can take you? How far do you want to go? Come on, somebody get desperate in here. We don't play church. We believe God. Don't let him go until he blesses you. So now Jacob had a mark on his life. People could say, yep, he struggled with God. He's a Christian. And maybe we won't have a limp, but we should have a little bit of a strut, I think. I think we should have a strut. It's not a cocky strut, but it's a strut that says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. A strut that says, I've been given authority over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing by shall any means hurt me. A strut that says, I am seated at the right hand of the Father in Christ Jesus, high above every power, every dominion, every might, in the name of Jesus. A power that says, my God is greater. A power that says, my God can do exceedingly, abundantly above whatever I've ever asked or thought. We should have a little bit of a strut. We should have a strut. Isn't it interesting, though, that right after God changes Jacob's name to Israel, the Bible starts calling him Jacob again. The Bible starts calling him Jacob again, which means deceiver, but God just changed his name to Prince with God. Sometimes God will be taking you to a new place, but you haven't quite stepped into that blessing. So he'll give you a mark to remind you where he's taking you, even though you're still living like Jacob, but you're called to be Israel. It may not be a limp, but it might be a word. It might be a dream. It might be a vision. It might be something in your spirit that you know you're no longer Jacob, even though from the outside it looks like you're Jacob. You know you've been called to be Israel. You know you've already been blessed. You have evidence in your hip. You have evidence in your life. You have evidence in your spirit that you are Israel. You aren't Jacob anymore. So now you can look at that evidence. You can look at that reminder. You can look at that mark. When people keep calling you by the name of Jacob, when people keep calling you by your old label, people keep calling you by your old sin, you can say, no, I'm no longer Jacob. I am Israel. I am just in the process. God is working things out. God is organizing my blessing. He is bringing to pass my promise. I am no longer Jacob. It may look like Jacob. I may look like I'm still sinning. It may look like I'm still in the same place, but I'm not. I'm Israel. God will give you a mark. He wants you to remember that you've got a word. He wants you to be able to look at that thing when stuff happens, that it's been done in the spirit. It just takes time to manifest. I want my life to be a series of events marked by stretch, marked by faith, because the faith zone is the fun zone. Faith leaves marks, and the bigger the faith, the bigger the mark. Now we all want big stretch marks, right? I want a big fat stretch mark. A mark that says, I'm a follower of Christ. I'm now to the point where I look for opportunities to create stretch marks, opportunities to believe God. I look for opportunities. Now I recognize sometimes when I'm in a trial, and I'm like, okay, now it's time to stretch. I'm gonna make a mark in my life right now. When I overcome this mark, I'm gonna be able to look back at this mark. In the future, when a future challenge comes, I'm gonna look back. Stretch marks equals growth or gains. The latest mark of faith or stretch mark in our life is our house. My wife and I and my kids just moved into a new house a couple of months ago. And And it was a stretch mark, but it's a giant stretch mark in Fletcher Hills that I can point to and say that is a victory for God. And it might sound not that cool to you, but it means a lot to us. 8 years ago, I was in real estate, and not only was I a real estate in commercial real estate, but I was also an investor, and all my eggs were in one basket. And we lost everything in 2010. We were a paper millionaires in 2008, but then all of a sudden, the market crashed and we lose everything. We have to let go of our own home, the home at that time that was our dream home. We had to let it go. That was 2010, 8 years ago, almost to the day. So for 7 years, we were in the struggle. We were wrestling with God, saying, God, when is it time for us again? How are we ever going to get back to that place? We were making twice the money we're making now back then. So how are we ever going to get to that place where we could buy a house that we would actually call like a God house? But I got to tell you, we weren't willing to go backwards. We lived in a great house. God actually provided a house that we loved and loved and loved. We were renting it. We loved our landlords. We loved our house. And that was 8 years ago. On January 1st, 2018, just a couple of months ago, there was a prophet in this house by the name of Mike Maiden. I was sitting at the 8:30 service by myself. My wife was coming to the 10 and the 12. And he stood me up at the 8:30 right here. Never met him before in my life. And he began to prophesy over me, talking about influence and other things. And then he said, this year is a year of recovery for you. And he said, that recovery includes property. He didn't know me for anything. But I'm telling you, it was a word that went from his mouth to my spirit. I told my wife, and we sent her the video. We both knew at that moment that this was our year. It didn't look like the year. The market's crazy. The market's going like this. Interest rates are going like this. Every realtor I talked to said I wouldn't buy right now. I would wait till 2000, whatever, when the market crashes. Store up cash, store up cash, store up cash. But we knew. We knew that this was our year. And we thought about buying the house that we were in. And for the first time in 8 years, he was willing to sell it. He was never willing to sell it before. So that could have been a miracle. It would have been cool. We would have had a good time. It would have been a little bit of a stretch. But we decided we wanted a God-sized stretch. We wanted a mark in our history that we could say that was God and only God. Because we could have done the other one maybe by ourselves. So we started to believe God. And little did I know that the number 7 in the Bible means completion. The number 8 means new beginnings or resurrection. This was the 8th year after we lost everything. It was time to resurrect that which was lost. And Mike Maiden called it out. Don't ever underestimate getting in the house of God, because you might get a word that will sustain you. So we started operating on that word. And we didn't know how quick it was going to come, but we knew it was now. So God gave us the green light. And the first thing we did was we put the house of God first. Vision builders. We fulfilled our commitment to vision builders right before we were going to potentially put an offering on a house. And, you know, that's not a great time to just give away money. But we knew if we didn't build his house, he wasn't going to build ours. And to be honest, if we would have gave that money, we wouldn't have got the house, whatever. I'd rather build this house. I'd rather see 15 people on the altar giving their lives to Christ than me living in some house. That's what's important. But God is a rewarder. God is a rewarder. So we fulfilled our vision builder's pledge, even though we were going to buy a house. And it's not like we had like tons of extra money that we could have just start throwing money around. But the Bible says this, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You will find when you put the house of God first, God starts to add stuff to your world. He knows what you need before you know what you need, and he's going to add it to you. And so we knew that was going to happen. At some point, you got to believe God or not. You can't take certain scriptures and leave them out because it fits into your life. You either go all in or not. If you're lukewarm, God's going to spit you out. That's what the Bible says. I don't say that. So you might as well go all in and leave it up to God. It takes the pressure off. It takes the pressure off. Giving unlocks the law of addition in your life. So we went to a lender and we said, lender, what can we buy? And he said, you can buy this. You can spend this amount of money. And we didn't like what he said, because the houses that we were looking at weren't in that price range. So we didn't use that lender. We didn't want to buy something we could afford. We wanted to buy something he could afford. And so we walked into a house. We left church one day, me and my boys. I'm not sure where my daughter was, but my wife was here preaching. And me and my boys left. And it was a house on the way home to our house. And we drove by, and I'd seen the open house the day before, but I couldn't go. And to be honest, from the outside, I wasn't really like super jazzed, and I knew it was kind of out of our price range, but I went in anyways. I went in because we wanted to constantly expose ourselves to the next level. And so I went into the house, and the moment I walked in, I just knew. If you're married, you know how it is. You just know. You can't really explain it, but you just get all tingly, and it's like angels are out singing, ah, and like, that's what happened when I walked in. I'm like, I told the agent right when I walked in, I'm like, I'm going to find a way to buy this house. My kids run in the backyard. They run up on the slide. They're like, take a picture, Dad, take a picture. So they come back down. We go upstairs to check out the upstairs. I take my boys into the master bedroom, and I'm like, guys, this is it. My boys are 9 and 10. I'm like, let's pray. We held hands in that master bedroom, and we claimed that house. We prophesied over that house. My kids were in it from the beginning. They were fully invested. So we prayed that day in the master bedroom, and we claimed that house. Wouldn't you know it, a week later, it goes under contract with somebody else. Don't worry, the story's not over. So 1 week later, it goes under contract with somebody else. And the lender immediately says, okay, well, now that's under contract, why don't you start looking at houses in your price range? There will be voices in your world trying to keep you safe. And they have good intentions, but it's bad theology. God doesn't live in the safe zone, he lives in the faith zone. God is always found in the stretch. So as soon as you try to stretch, as soon as you go to the next level, people are going to try to pull you down because it makes them uncomfortable. You can listen, but just don't hear it. Listen for God, listen for God, listen for God. So what does a man of God do if a house is under contract with somebody else? He curses the contract. And I got the other men in my house, my boys, and we would curse the contract. My wife said, you can't curse people. And I'm like, God, cursing people, I'm cursing the contract. And so we started cursing the contract. I canceled that thing in the name of Jesus. Every place the sole of my foot shall tread, you had given me. Every time we drove by the house, we would prophesy. My kids would prophesy. Every night, we were involving our kids in the miracle. We said, we're going to see God move. And I wish I could say I stayed at this level of faith the whole time. That's why we need friends. That's why you need people in your life. That's why you need to invite Christ into your world, because you definitely need him. So we started praying. We started canceling the contract. We started prophesying over the house. One day I drove by and there was a U-Haul in the driveway, and they were moving out. In other words, they thought this was a done deal. Little did they know, we had already claimed the house. And so my wife prayed with a lady in our church, and when she prayed, because we were still kind of struggling, well, maybe is this a sign, God? Maybe this isn't our time. Maybe this isn't our house. But my wife felt like, and we could have bought our house, but my wife felt like in that prayer time that our house wasn't a reflection of the God that can do exceedingly abundantly above. And so she said, no, that's still our house. And so she wrote a letter talking about our family, talking about how our kids wanted, we would love for our kids to grow up in that house. And she was going to mail it, but I saw the U-Haul. So instead of mailing it, she walked up there with my daughter, who's 5, looking all G'd up from the feet up. So they went up, and the family just happened to be outside. The couple happened to be outside, coincidentally. And so they met my wife. They saw my daughter. They read the letter. I would text the other agent, and I would say, hey, we're still here, just so you know. We're still here. We're still here. Two weeks in, I get a text message on a Wednesday that says, hey, John, are you guys still interested? This contract's getting shaky. I said, yes, we are still interested. So we sent in a backup offer with a loan approval, and little did we know we got a we got the opportunity to go under contract without them putting it back on the market because the letter impacted them so much that my wife wrote. And so they didn't put it back on the market. They just let us have first dibs. And so obviously we went under contract. But now the work started. Now we're like, oh, shoot, they accepted. Is God real? We're about to find out. We're about to find out. And so then another thing happened. We had a family member come to us, and they said, we're in a money crunch. We need some money. And at the time, the money that they needed was about 10% of our savings, which, as you know, should go towards our house. But we both felt from God to give the money. And honestly, I remember sitting in my garage. Remember I told you that I'm to the point now where I look for opportunities to create stretch marks. I look for opportunities to recognize, am I in a trial? Am I in a test? How do I respond? So I'm in my garage going, God, thank you for this. I literally said that. Maybe the first time I said, God, thank you for this. This is just going to show me how much even bigger you are in my world. And I actually thought about this moment sharing it with you, that this was another layer to the testimony of the drama of this house. And so through this process, we went to a loan broker. And if you know what a loan broker is, they work with multiple banks. No bank came to the table and wanted to give us a loan except for one that was offering us a 6% interest rate. And if you know my wife, if you heard my wife talk about this, she wanted it under 4%. At the time, there wasn't a loan under 4%. But we were praying for a loan under 4% because that's what my wife wanted. So let's pray for it. And so this was the only lender that came to the table, and they came at 6%. And so we both felt on the same night to go to a different lender. We both got a word the same night to go to a different lender. So we call them with 4 days left in our loan contingency. Come on, that's not much time. So we get a new loan agent. I call the other agent, and I say, I need another week, which is still not enough time to get loan approval if you ever bought a house. So we had about 9 days ended up being to get loan approval. Well, it comes to that ninth day. The other agent was mad. She wanted to cancel the contract. She actually, in the middle of the week, she said, because she was mad that we wanted an extension, she said, I just got another offer, all cash, an all cash buyer to buy this house. I'm sending him the information. She didn't believe we were going to close. She didn't believe that we could do it. She didn't realize that God was involved. And it was like this offer, it was like the devil taunting us. It was like the devil got in our face and taunted us, because the devil doesn't give up ground easy. And so when you stretch to the next level, there's going to be another devil, and he's going to try to take you out during the struggle of the stretch. But we kept believing. And there was a moment in the process, I was getting ready to go to work. I was putting on my shoes, and I'm trying to hurry. Putting on my shoes, and I got the word. I got the word that said, this is your house. Now it's about price. And so I knew that was a mark in my spirit, and I knew it was ours. I knew it was ours, but the struggle wasn't over. I still had to wrestle. We still had to fight. We still had to pray. We still had to believe. But we knew that it was ours. So then it came to the place of contingency removal. We didn't have our loan approval yet. We didn't even have the appraisal back yet. So now if I remove contingencies, my deposit is at risk. They could just take my deposit and go away and go on to the next buyer. But that was a time we had to make a decision. It's a good thing I already knew my name was Israel, even though it still looked like my name was Jacob. Because I had that thing in my spirit that I was already living there. And so we removed contingencies without loan approval, stretch, step of faith. And wouldn't you know, we closed that house 2 days early. And now we're living in a house that only God could have gotten. And now we have a big fat stretch mark in El Cajon. You're all invited. Come on, give God a shout. Come on, he's a good God. He's a big God. He's a big God. He's a big God. I can always look to that point, that struggle, that moment, that period of time, and draw strength from it because of what God did. The same faith we can use to get a house or to get a job, it's the same faith that we can use to heal the sick, raise the dead, declare a prophetic word. It's the same faith because it's the same God. So you might think, what does a house have to do spiritual things? It has a lot to do with it. has a lot to do with it. The devil doesn't want to see you take ground. And every time you take ground, you're stretching further, you're stretching further, you're stretching further. You're getting another mark on your life. And aren't you glad that we have a God, Jesus, who stretched? He stretched out his hands and he got marks on his wrists and on his feet. And those marks are really the confirmation that he was the Messiah, the confirmation of his ministry. And those marks are marks that you and I can look at when we face struggle. And we can remember that we are saved, that we are set free, that we are healed. Those marks on his wrists and on his feet, we never can forget those marks, because they are marks of him stretching for you and for me. So now that we can live eternity in heaven, we have a great God. He's into stretching. He's into stretch marks. Come on, anybody want to get a stretch mark now? Come on, why don't you stand to your feet? We're going to come to a close. I can invite the team back out. There might be some people here tonight that maybe you're in the middle of something. Maybe you're in the middle of a struggle. Maybe you need a word. Maybe you need a touch from heaven. Maybe you need something to shift in your world. Maybe you just need someone to call you Israel, even though you're living like Jacob. So if you're in that struggle, if you're in that moment, if you need a word from God, if you need prayer, I want you to come to the front. I'm going to ask the ministry team to come up. I'm going to ask the team to sing. If you're looking for a mark to get you through this struggle, I want you to come forward. We're going to pray for you. We're going to believe God tonight. We're going to believe that tonight's going to be a mark on the history of your life, where your life goes to a brand new level, where you start to gain something you never thought you could gain.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.